You're listening to The Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Well, folks, our conference is just around the corner. We still have some spots if any of you have been thinking of attending, but you need to get your payment in now to reserve your seat. If you are a single member, it's $150 for the whole week, folks. Now, you got to provide your own transportation and lodging, and we'll send you an information pack that tells you exactly where it is and all the different hotels and motels and the different prices. But we need to get your payment right away. If you call me tomorrow and either leave a message or talk to me personally and tell me that you want to come and leave your address, or tell me your address if you succeed in getting in touch with me, I'm busier than 5 million hornets these days. Then I'll send you the information immediately while we're waiting for your payment to get here. It's got to be a money order. $150 for a single member. $200 for family membership. And $400 for anybody who's not a member. No ifs, ands, buts, no deals, no nothing. Payment for any of the events that we have are non-refundable. So before you send it, make sure that you can attend. It's always been that way, always will be that way. You see, we have to pay for the facilities and everything whether you show up or not. So when you reserve your seat, it's paid for. Nobody else gets it. And if you can't come, or you decide you don't want to come, you're responsible for getting someone else to fill that seat to pay you, because your payment is non-refundable. Always has been, always will be. Okay, so if you're a single member, either CAGI or the Intelligence Service, it's $150. If you have a family membership in the Intelligence Service, it's $200. And if you're a non-member, it's $400. $400 is a bargain for what we do at our conferences. Many of you have listened to this broadcast where we've had live broadcasts from the conference, and you've heard how happy and pleased everybody was and what a good time we were having. And everybody who attends our conferences goes away with an education that you can't buy anywhere for $400,000, much less $400. So if you'd like to attend, get a money order payable to Harvest for the proper amount into us immediately. And it's got to reach me before I leave for Oklahoma. And I'm leaving next Friday night, folks, so it's got to get to me before then. And you're going to have to get your information so you know where you're going and be able to arrange for your transportation and for your lodging. So make sure that you call me if you want to go. Now, we don't have a whole lot of slots left, but we do have some seats open. So call me right away tomorrow. If I'm not in, leave a message. The number is 520-333-5691. That's my number. Do not ever call that number for Veritas business or for any other business than to talk to me. Okay, it's also my fax number. If you need to fax me, it's 520-333-5691. Now, we're very busy, folks. We've lost our help. It's just Annie and I and Pooh, and, of course, Baby tries, but she's not big enough yet. We're doing everything we can to make things work right. So if you don't succeed in getting through, try and try again. And if you leave a message and you want to go to the conference, I will get back to you immediately and make sure that you know where you're going and what you're doing. But you will not have a seat reserved until we receive your money. Okay? Make sure everybody understands that. Also, all of those of you who have not purchased Oklahoma City Day One, you have now lost out. And I'm going to tell you why you've lost out. Because now the cover price of the book is $29.95. To order it from us through the mail, it's $35. And there are no more autographs. No more autographs. It's $35 for the book, post-paid. I told you folks, we were giving you a deal if you ordered early. And all of those who ordered early, we thank you dearly. What you did was pay for the printing. And if you hadn't have paid for the printing, or at least you made up what we didn't have to pay for the printing, and if you hadn't have paid for it, if we hadn't been able to do it, we would have sent your money right back to you. But everything worked out wonderful. You got a deal. The book is being printed. Now, anybody else who buys it from this moment on pays the full price. $35 post-paid, no more autographed books. Unless you buy the limited edition, collector's first edition, numbered and signed hardbound copy. And that's $65 post-paid, autographed and numbered. There will only be 500 of them in the entire world. Don't write and ask for specific numbers. You get what you get. Michelle Moore gets number one, and I decided that. She didn't even ask me. She gets it. She wrote it. She gets number one. But it doesn't matter if you get 500, if number 500. There's only 500 of these books in the whole world. You should see what happened to my book. My book was a limited edition, signed and numbered, hardbound, collector's first edition. There were only 500 of them. Wait a minute. No, there were 513 or 500 and something, a little odd number there, printed in the whole world. And they sold for $35, I believe. It was $40 post-paid, ordered through the mail. And they're now going between $85 and $150, and I haven't seen one for $85 in several years. All the ones I see now are $150, and I have seen some higher than that. So don't shake your head and think that this is too much money, because limited, signed, and numbered first edition hardbound collector's copies are worth money always. There are people who spend their lives collecting these books, and there are hundreds of thousands of those collectors in the world who collect first editions, signed and numbered. There's only 500 of these folks. It has to go up in price. Ask anybody who's a bibliophile and understands books, and especially books that make a difference, important works like Oklahoma City Day One. It is an encyclopedic tome. It is magnificent. It is indexed. It is researched and sourced and documented and you're not going to believe it when you get it, and you're not going to believe the information in there that's going to turn, well, you'll just have to wait and see. If you want the hardbound, limited, signed, and numbered first edition collector's copy, send $65 and do it now, folks. The book is being printed. Sometime in September, we're going to start shipping them. I would tell you a date, except something could go wrong. We're looking at about the first week or second week of September receiving them in our hands. But if some little thing goes wrong, it could be the third or fourth week of September. But it will be September, and we will be shipping these books in September. So, you know, there's only 500 copies of the hardbound. And whether they go to the listening audience of this broadcast or whether they go to somebody else, they're going to go, and they're going to go fast. So if you want your copy, send $65 post-paid now. If you want the regular paper trade copy, send your $35 post-paid now. There are no more autographed copies unless you buy the limited, signed, and numbered first edition hardbound collector's copy. Make your money order payable to Harvest, H-A-R-V-E-S-T, Harvest, and send it to Harvest at P.O. Box 1970. That's P.O. Box 1970, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. That's Harvest, P.O. Box 1970. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Once again, the phone number, if you want to make sure that you get a reserved seat and you get your information for the conference, is 520-333-5691. Don't procrastinate, folks, because time is running out. Remember, the conference starts the morning of the 19th and goes through the 23rd, and the night of the 23rd, we're having a camp out, and it's just going to be a wonderful time, just like always, and always the most wonderful people come to our conferences, just like at Area 51, and it's the conferences are educational. You spend 12 to 14 hours a day just absorbing knowledge. And plus, you get to sit in on the live broadcast of the hour of the time and meet and associate with a lot of people that you would not ordinarily otherwise meet. People who are making a difference in this world. I'll never tell you what they personally have really done. But if you're smart, you read Veritas, and you listen to this broadcast, you already know. And if you read Oklahoma City Day One, you already know. And you will continue to be the beneficiaries of the risks, the great personal risks, and the tremendous work, intelligence work, undercover activity, research, of these wonderful people. Can't tell you more than that. Wish I could. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We'll be taking your calls for the rest of the broadcast. You know, I've been so busy. Annie's been busy. We're just, like I said, it's like a nest of hornets around here, only there's only two hornets and a half a hornet. Don't get me wrong, folks. Pooh works her little butt off. She really does, and she's a good worker. And she does it willingly and cheerfully, and we do that as a family. And pretty soon, little Allison will take her place, putting labels on something or licking stamps or whatever she can do. The last few days have been probably some of the most beautiful days I have ever seen in my entire life. Arizona is always beautiful. In fact, I would say it's probably the most beautiful state in the entire 50 states of the Union and most of the foreign countries that I've been to in my life, and I've been to many of them. The skies are the bluest cerulean blue that you've ever dreamed of in your life. The clouds are pure white. And the air is so clear that you can see for 80 miles everywhere. It is just amazing. And the temperature has been perfect. The sun has been perfect. The sky has been perfect. The clouds, what clouds there were, have been perfect. And during the monsoon in the afternoon, the little white puffy clouds turn into big thunderheads, and we have little rain showers. And everywhere you look, it's just the most beautiful green everywhere. It is amazing. So, tonight's sort of going to have a Western theme with the music. I was hoping that Frank would call in, but I guess he's not back from vacation. Somebody did call before the show about 10 minutes till, which is 5 minutes too soon for it to have been Frank, and I answered the phone and nobody was there. So, what can I say? So, don't go away. I'll be right back, and then we'll take your calls. Thank you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. It's Michael again.
Hello, Michael.
I had a great time on your show last night. It was good to hear you laugh that much. You seem to be really enjoying yourself, but the topic was pretty funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's still funny. I'm still laughing. I was going to get, I got to apologize to everybody. I've been so busy today. I was going to get NASA's address and... work for me just didn't stop, and about 2 hours before the broadcast, I just got this tremendous tiredness came over me, and I went and took a little nap.
Uh-huh.
And just got up just before the broadcast, so I don't have NASA's address. So if any of you callers have the address for NASA in lieu of my failure to provide it, maybe some of our callers, or maybe one of our callers can do that.
If you give me 10 seconds, I can probably locate it for you.
Well, I can't do that. Dead air time on radio is no good. But somebody will call in with that address. I can guarantee you somebody out there has it, and somebody will call in with it.
I do have it. They also have what's called SpaceLink, and I think that's an email address you can contact them.
Oh, we want to send them. I want to send them a rock.
Yeah, me too.
I want to send them a big Arizona rock. Oh, boy.
The purpose being, though, if they are instilling, and they certainly are doing that, the presence, a fictitious presence of an extraterrestrial race, the end goal being to possibly destroy people's faith in God? Do you think that's the end goal and proclaim themselves the lords of the world?
Well, it's a lot of gold. They're already telling, they're already saying it on all the communist news networks that Earth life originated from life that was brought here from a meteor that was knocked off of Mars by another meteor, and that's what really started life on Earth. So we're really Martians.
And it negates the Bible totally.
Yeah, it negates the Bible, negates a lot of things, and it also creates an external threat to the Earth.
Well, that's where I think it's heading, that they would get people to band together. They could also blame some of our strange diseases on the aliens, too, couldn't they? Of course, William Bramley has brought that up in his books.
Sure they can.
Wouldn't that be a convenient excuse for a new strain of an AIDS-type disease that's ravaging the population?
Sure.
Of course, it's always coming from out there, never within. I think people have a hard time accepting the fact that there are men who are capable of pulling this off and are working diligently towards that end. People don't want to think they're that efficient and that they're stupid for being duped. They don't want to admit that as well.
No, they don't. All the enemies have to be somewhere else. It's incredible. Thank you for calling, Michael.
Good night, Bill.
Appreciate it.
You bet.
520-333-4578 is the number. If you've got the address for NASA, please call in with it so that everybody will know where to send their rock. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, is this Bill?
Yes.
Hi, Bill. This is Howard.
Turn off your radio, Howard, or you're going to be history.
Oh.
Oh. How long have you been listening?
Too long.
What can we do for you?
Yeah, I was trying to find that damn number, but I can't find it.
What number?
The NASA number.
No. We want the address.
Oh, I don't have your address. Okay. How's everything doing on the show?
Good night, Howard. Have another drink. You're having a good time tonight. I don't know if you're drinking or not, but you're out there somewhere. You're not with us. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Good evening, Bill. Pertaining to the Pan Am 800, have you ever heard any audio of that cockpit voice recorder? Have they ever released any of the audio?
I've never heard any, but people who say that they've heard it say all there is a mystery noise. You know what the mystery noise is?
Well.
You know what it is?
Go ahead.
They're calling it a mystery noise. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. Ready?
Yes.
Boom!
Oh.
It's a mystery noise. The plane blew up. What's the matter with these creeps? They're calling it a mystery noise. The plane blew up.
Okay, a couple oddities that I feel happened here. One, that the voice recorder was recovered 2 o'clock in the morning at night time. Approximately 12 hours later, which I think is some kind of a record, they were announcing to the public a transcript of that recording. Now, seems to me that in other air crashes and so forth, it takes much longer than 12 hours till they ever release anything.
Well, there's a lot of anomalies here. First, they said that they brought up the recorder, and they showed on television pictures of these divers putting this thing in a boat. It was orange.
Mm-hmm.
They said it was the recorder. Then later, they said it wasn't the recorder. It wasn't anything important, and go away, forget about it. Then they said they had a transcript. Then they said they didn't have a transcript, and then a few days later, they said they really found the recorder, and all the recorder had was a mystery noise.
Mm.
Boom!
Yeah. Yeah, it sure doesn't add up.
No, it doesn't add up.
Bill, let me ask you one thing. In your professional opinion, if that plane was hit by a missile, what would you say is the probability that someone on that flight crew actually saw someone in the cockpit may have seen the missile coming? Do you give it a 0% probability, a 50%, or a 100% probability?
Being that it was a commercial flight and that they were busy with their post-takeoff routine and getting on course and all that stuff, I'd say probably zero.
Probably zero. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I wanted to ask you. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's just like, you know, people driving down the highway. Once you get on the highway and you're sort of geared in and you're checking, make sure your coffee's there and everything's working right, and you're checking the gauges to make sure your car's not overheating or anything, and unless there's a real big reason, you never look behind you. You know what I mean? So, and planes are different. They don't really have rearview mirrors, unless you're in a fighter plane. Then that's something else altogether. But a big 747, I doubt very seriously if those pilots really saw anything except stars, and if there were cockpit lights on, they wouldn't have even seen the stars. They would have been very busy with their routine up in the cockpit and all that kind of stuff. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we still need that address for NASA. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I heard on the news today, this was the radio news, that police will no longer need to do high-speed chases because they have a mechanism in place now to shut off the cars. And what immediately came to my mind is all this business about the computer chip in the cars and, you know, how they shut the car. They have the possibility of shutting everybody's cars off that have, you know, that have the new car with the computer chip in it.
Yeah, well, if they can, it only works on new cars, and that's one reason why they want to get rid of all the old cars. And number two, I've never seen it happen, so I'm not really sure that they can do that or not. And even if they can, until they've done it a whole bunch of times, we don't know if it's going to work all the time either, do we?
No.
But it is, you know, it's the New World Order coming. It's Big Brother. It's tyranny. It's absolute tyranny. I don't understand how police officers can claim to be Americans and take part in all of this bullshit.
I know. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, what's really scary about it to me is they've got Americans going along with it. They've got Americans who have this stormtrooper mentality, whether they're police officers or congressmen or agency bureaucrats or whatever they are, they're all going along with it.
I know, just to save their jobs, and it's a shame. But, you know, who knows, maybe things will turn around and they'll wake up when they realize that...
Not without a bunch of blood flowing in the streets of America, I can guarantee you that. I don't want it to happen, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's what it's going to come to. They're going to push us over the edge, and Americans, as they always have, will resist tyranny with all their might and all of their heart and soul.
Yes, that's true. I believe that. Well, let's hope for the best.
Lady, I'll tell you right now, I'm just going to hope that I'm able to fight to my fullest capability, whatever that happens to be after all these years, and that's all I'm hoping for right now.
Well, thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, folks, don't delude yourselves, you know. We've tried for many years to wake people up and turn this. They're not going to let us turn it around. Even if we could wake up the whole country, it's not going to happen. They're going to force us. They're going to force us in order to preserve our liberty and reinstate the Constitution as the supreme law of the land and restore the constitutional republic, which is our duty and our lawful responsibility. They're going to force us to take up arms to do it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. I'm calling from Wayne, New Jersey. And I thought just as you did about this comedy, about the stones falling to Antarctica, there's another major flaw in their argument I don't think you've covered yet, and that is when a comet or an asteroid impacts, like there in Arizona, at the site that you have there in Arizona, there's vaporization of most of the material, and any of the ejecta is molten, and therefore anything ejected would be stirred, so to speak, in a molten pot, and there would be no fossilization possible to survive it. So for there to be a piece of Mars that has anything intact on it that was ejected from a hit like that is impossible, because it's heated to the point of being molten, and then it would cool and be reestablished as a new rock.
Yeah, I think I did cover that last. I didn't cover the impact, but I covered the heat created by the friction of the atmosphere literally turns it into...
No, that's the friction of the atmosphere in return, which is another big burn, but the burn of the hit, the original hit by the alleged comet or asteroid that was supposed to have hit Mars, would have melted any ejecta that could have escaped at the 3 months.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely correct.
They'd be absolutely impossible, and I'm not an astronomer, but you check with astronomers. A friend of mine called you last night, is an astronomer, that talked about the star Vega.
Uh-huh.
But they actually, by the way, Renee is one of my best friends also. It doesn't make me a better person, but it doesn't make me a lesser person either. But the ejecta always will be heated to extreme molten temperatures, and therefore the rock is reborn as a new rock, and it will have nothing left of any kind of microscopic fossils left in it. It can't survive. It would be like trying to find the imprint of your cigarette lighter in your car if your whole car was melted down to molten steel, poured into a mold, and then try to find the artifact of the cigarette lighter of your car in the new molten steel.
You're right. You know, I didn't even think of that. But if a meteor big enough to knock a chunk of Mars out into space that would roam around out there for how many millions of years before it finally hit the Earth, would do exactly that. You're absolutely 100% correct.
And isn't it a comedy also that they know that it was 5.6 billion years ago that this thing hit? How do they know that, really? I mean, what kind of science can only be what can be measured or observed if it's true science? And not, there is no yardstick to measure such a thing.
This isn't science. This is a joke. This is snake oil salesman.
I was on the ham radio frequency before you came on, and I was saying the same thing to my fellow hams. I said, this is just preposterous that this could be considered science. I can't believe. You know, there has to be that this is the first shoe of 99 other shoes that are going to drop. This is the opening curtain for a big theatrical show that they're going to produce for the rest of us about life in outer space. You're right on. You're absolutely right on.
Yeah, and it's going to get worse and worse. Well, thank you for that info.
And also, how do they know that it floated around for 16 million and not 17 million or 16 days instead of 16 million years? How do they know that this rock, so many billion years old, floated around intact with the fossils in it in space for 16 million years? I wish they would pick up the piece of cinder block that they have there and point out to me how it is that they're able to tell that this thing was in space for 16 million years and such a precise amount of long time like that.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to ask the Grand Wizard how he convinced them all to come up with this bullshit story.
Even the story that it was 13,000 years in Antarctica is based on an assumption that is not scientific, and that is the amount of, they measure the amount of snow that occurs now. And they say, well, it snows that much now. It always snowed that much through the years, and they measure how many feet down it was to where it came to rest. And they say, therefore, divide that amount into it, and that's how you come up with 13,000.
Yeah.
But that's not a scientific, because the presumption that it always snowed...
It's not even science fiction. No, not even a good science fiction writer would never even come up with this crap.
Like you say, it wouldn't make it as a science fiction thriller because it stinks so bad. It's like poor logic.
Yeah, at least science fiction makes sense. Thanks a lot for your call. We've got to take a little break here.
Okay, thank you very much.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm heading over to the saloon because I can't take it anymore. I say there's life on Mars. I say there ain't no life on Mars. I just went in there to, you know, just sit down and take a break, and all hell broke loose. And then I went out the backyard and found myself in Mexico. How'd that happen? Well, I called my good friend Craig, and just like that, I was back in my studio talking to you. This broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. They're not too far from Mexico. Phoenix is just a hop, skip, and a jump from the border. And, boy, it's a hot border. I got to tell you, not too long ago, we found tunnels going from the Arizona side way into the Mexican side. And through those tunnels, who knows what was going back and forth. But they were big, big tunnels. Wow. You know, they don't need those tunnels anymore because now they have NAFTA. I'm going to tell you something that's happening in Mexico that you don't know. And by golly, it's one reason that you better get your hands on some real money. You see, the Oriental countries, the Oriental nations have discovered Mexico. They've discovered the cheap labor. You know, everybody used to think of the Orient as the source of cheap goods. Not anymore. People in the Orient make good money. They also make good products. And in order to keep them at a level where people can afford to buy them, they can no longer do what our manufacturers could no longer do. So they're all heading to Mexico. That's right, folks. That's right. A lot of the stuff that you buy from Japan and Hong Kong and Singapore and Malaysia are from here on out going to be manufactured and are assembled in Mexico. It looks like the New World Order has tagged the Mexican people to be the peon serf slave labor. And pretty soon, because of NAFTA and GATT, there's going to be a leveling of the standard of living, ladies and gentlemen, from the Arctic Circle all the way down to the top of the South American continent. And that includes you. Read the Communist Manifesto one more time, and you'll see that one of the biggest goals that has not happened yet is to get rid of the middle class. How do you do that? Well, one way is by a graduated income tax system, according to Karl Marx. If you read the Communist Manifesto and compare it to what's happening in America today, you'll find that there's only two or three of his major points that have not yet been fully implemented, but are in the process of being implemented now. And if you don't take care of yourself, you need beans, bullets, a source of spiritual strength, and you need some real money. And don't ever give up your guns. A disarmed people is an enslaved people. Now, I'm not going to tell you where to get all the other stuff, but I can tell you where to get some real money from Swiss America Trading. Call them now, 1-800-289-2646. Do it now, 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. If you don't, you might end up riding with some of these fellas. You never know. I might even be up there with you. But I doubt it. Think that's just a song? You ought to live in Arizona. I'm telling you, sometimes when the weather really chooses to show it what it can do, you can actually see those ghost riders riding across the sky. They're real. You know, I want to take the time, if you've noticed a great improvement of the voice sound quality on this broadcast, it's due to a man, broadcasting engineer, a man who collects old radio equipment. I'm sitting here in front of a 1920s, 1930s style RCA microphone. The best microphone that has ever been made in the history of radio was donated to this broadcast by a man named Ron Howell. And so I want to take this time to thank him. Pooh also has her own smaller version, but not much smaller. I mean, these things are huge. You've seen the microphone on the Larry King show? Well, these are very similar, not exactly like his, but very similar. And the sound quality is just outlandish. It's unbelievable. I'm talking right now into what experts have told me is the best microphone ever made on the face of this earth for radio broadcasting. And Pooh has her own just a little bit smaller version that was also donated by Mr. Howell. So, Ron Howell, we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for helping to make this a better broadcast. He didn't like the sound quality of my voice, and so he did something about it. And also want to thank somebody else who donated a scanner. And we got that today. It is an incredible scanner, and I've been just itching until I have time to sit down and learn it and put it to use. But it will be put to use, I guarantee you. So, let's go back to the phones. Good evening, you're on the air. Hello?
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 Hello? Let's play the hello game. You want to play the hello game? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Good night. Wonder who that was, folks. 520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Jones.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Hi. I was listening last night to that press conference.
Yes.
And I can tell you right now, there was so much that wasn't said, or so much that was that it isn't funny. Basically, they're trying to base their idea on a hypothesis that life on Earth began with a combination of iron pyrite, that is sodium ions, and carbon plus water, put together with equal protoplasm. That's the latest view of how life began on the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with them is fourfold. One, the fossils, so-called, and the so-called rock doesn't even match the findings of the earliest life forms on Earth about 3.46 billion years ago. It doesn't even match them in terms of form or content.
They were very careful during that press conference to say that they haven't found any life forms in that rock.
That's correct. And the man from UCLA practically blasted them out of business when he pointed that out. But the most important significance of that thing is the opening words of the conference when they said that they want to inform the, quote, world space community, end of quote, of what they were doing. And that's the key. Remember that treaty you read on the Hour of the Time about the space treaty?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's the real significance of this business, that they're trying to get us to let us know that there is a world government agency working right now to try to coordinate everybody into this whole business of setting up a mission to Mars, etc. And the other significance that goes along with it is the fact that when they mentioned about the idea of we're going to let science deal with the problem, and that when we went to the moon, we were fighting against the Russians, and when we got there, we didn't know what to do. In other words, this world body is going to try to plan what they're going to do on Mars before they go there. And that's the key element that they're really letting you know that's behind this, that there is an international authority that's supposedly going to tell the U.S. what they're going to do. And that's the bad part of it. That makes it even worse than what you're talking about.
Well, that's exactly what I was talking about.
Right. And that's what I caught out of the conference. As far as the science is concerned, it's a joke.
Yeah, there's no science. Science has nothing to do with it.
No.
This is blatant propaganda. It's snake oil salesmen. It is another tool to bring in the New World Order. It is creating an artificial threat from space. It is it's doing all of those things.
Yeah, and the BBC in their analysis of it on their news hour this morning even agreed on that point, that they're trying to bring about to stimulate world government, et cetera, et cetera. Even they admitted it.
Sure.
So I figured I'd better let you know. Incidentally, I did call WWCR about the situation, and they said, now you're on a list of people, and they're going to decide on it. They didn't want to take my name, but I did point out that your broadcast helped me to understand last night's conference.
Yeah. Let me say this again for your amusement, Jeffrey. They're lying to you. I was told point blank by George McClintock, the station manager, that under no circumstances could I have that time. Unless they have just put me on a list, I was not on any list.
Well, then,
and if I'm now on a list, it's solely because of the efforts of all of you people out there who are writing and calling and don't stop writing and don't stop calling.
Well, I can tell you, it was hard for me to get through because all of their numbers were jammed today with phone calls coming in.
Keep them jammed. They've been lying to me for 4 years, and they deserve a little discomfort.
I know what you mean. Well, we'll keep the good work going.
Great. And it's better to write. You know, you should call, too. But you've got to write.
Yeah, well, as soon as my
calls get forgotten and they're not counted, but letters never disappear. They have to be filed and kept on record, and they can be counted very easily.
That's right. Okay, we'll keep it going. See you later, folks.
Okay, thanks, Jeffrey. Yeah, Jeffrey's analysis was right on, folks. Good evening. You're on the air. Oh, there's old Poopy Diapers, folks. Poor little feller. Hey, Poopy Diapers, would you like to get on the air and talk? Hey, Poopy Diapers. Poor little feller. He can't talk. He's a little coward, as all of these anonymous, puke-faced, socialist pigs are. He's a little scumbag, communist coward. Can't talk. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Peter Martin here.
Hello.
From Foosburg, New York.
Foosburg, where's that?
That's near Jamestown, just below Buffalo and above Erie.
Oh, okay.
I got a couple of documents here in front of me. One is a report from Chairman Donald Regal, a member of the Banking and Alphonse Amato's group.
Yeah.
And this has to do with the U.S. chemicals and biological warfare that they shipped to Iraq.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I have that document.
Oh, super. Okay. In regards to this this little rock that they found, did you ever notice that every time that NASA needs some more money for spending and budgeting, they create some type of a hoax?
This goes way beyond needing more money for spending and budgeting, but it does, of course, help them get money for their projects and their tremendously wasteful space program that produces absolutely nothing.
Right? I say it produces their spy satellites and a spy network for spying on Americans. That came out in the declassified documentation. It was published in the two magazines. One was Popular Science and the other was Popular Mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
In February of this year, I believe.
Yeah, they're not supposed to have anything to do with military projects, but they are. And all research is supposed to be made available to the public. Read the charter of NASA. You'll find out that they violated everything. They're just nothing but a scumbag, propaganda, lying agency, just helping to bring about the destruction of this country. They're a bunch of worthless liars, snake oil salesmen. Their whole Apollo moon project fell all apart when we found that they had faked all the photographs. They're all fakes. They're phonies. They're liars. I don't know if they went to the moon in the Apollo space program, but I can tell you this. The photographs and the videotape that they produced that as proof that they went to the moon is all fake. All of it.
I got a set of their photographs, and they're showing people that the things that were uncovered are unbelievable.
Yeah, isn't that unbelievable? And people are still slopping at their trough. Thanks for calling.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Oh, boy. Well, I hope old Kurt Lochner gets his diaper changed before the night's over. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I have an address for NASA in Washington, D.C.
You don't have the NASA? We don't want Washington, D.C. Huh. We want the NASA headquarters.
Okay, that's the only one I have.
Okay. No, that's just some little office in Washington, D.C. We need the NASA headquarters down in Houston, Texas,
okay.
So that we can all send them a rock.
Okay.
thanks anyway.
Got some rocks, too, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I want to send them a rock. Make sure you mark your package fragile because that rock is carrying passengers inside.
Oh, yes.
From Mars.
Yes.
My rock.
I want to know who was standing out there, you know, 6 billion years ago that saw this thing come, and how can they see so?
Oh, these guys are a joke.
Memory, right?
They're a joke. They've been sitting around the campfire at Boy Scout camp too long telling lies to each other.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Did you ever do that, folks, when you're Boy Scouts? Everybody sits around a campfire late at night, tells ghost stories, tries to scare the other guys, and then when you can't do that, or, you know, you sit around and tell lies until everybody falls asleep. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Dave from Boston calling.
Hi.
And I have your address for NASA.
Wonderful.
I've got a whole bunch of addresses for NASA, and there's a whole bunch of preeminent scientists who I'm sure would appreciate receiving little potato-sized green rocks.
Well, let's just get the headquarters.
Okay, if it is the Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center in Houston that you want,
yes,
would address it to the Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Houston, Texas, 77058. And I also have JFK, Goddard, Langley, Lewis, George Marshall, Jet Propulsion Lab, NASA Management, Stennis Space Center, Dryden Flight Research Facility, and another two dozen others. They're all over the place.
Well, let's just concentrate on this one.
Well, I'm sure they'd appreciate receiving a potato rock.
Yeah, I think everybody should send them a rock. My rock, just for everybody's own, my rock came from Uranus.
Magazine that is their latest propaganda and poop sheet and pitch for money is called Spinoff, and it contains all kinds of information pertaining to what their aims are, their space operations, exploring the universe toward a future of flight, etc., etc., etc. This goes on for 140 pages. It's in full glossy color and also includes technology transfer to private industry, and they give you roughly 26 addresses in the back of the book about technology transfer as well as their locations of their main centers. And everybody ought to have a copy of this. There's quite a bit on the International Space Station building.
Well, when you send them your rock, just include a little letter in there and ask them to please send you back all the information that they can about their missions to Mars.
Fascinating. Also, Bill, I sent you those copies of the deeds pertaining to the Devon space closure.
Yes, I have it.
You did get it?
Yes.
Good. Nobody else has gotten theirs.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, good. I hope you get a chance to look at it. There's some fascinating land.
Oh, I already have. Thank you for the maps and everything. I love it.
Great. What do you think?
Well, I think the fact that the prison camp is right next door to the labor camp.
And it's next door to the cemetery.
It's sort of Hitler-esque, don't you think? Right next door to the cemetery. That's right.
Little hell pond.
And then just a hop, skip, and a jump from the airport and the major freeway and the railroad line. The
railroad, exactly.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Might want to read that page 26 language on the air.
Well,
there be any doubters out there.
We've got to study a little bit more and see what we're going to do with it, but...
Yep.
Thank you.
You'll get a kick out of it.
I already have.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
520-333-4578. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. I'd like to talk about Flight 800.
Sure. Go ahead.
I was listening on WOR radio in New York, and there's a talk show guy on there, Bob Grant, and an independent investigator from Missouri, I forget where, but he, independent person, claimed that supposedly two of Clinton's former bodyguards were on their way to Paris to be interviewed by Le Monde or Le Monde magazine.
I've already heard this, and we're in the process of checking it out. Until we verify it, it goes in the category of a rumor.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what Bob Grant said also. He said that he has to check it out.
Yeah.
Anyway, the previous caller, that's very true about the NASA stuff. They have this entire mission to planet Earth type of thing on the Internet, and it's right along those lines.
Yeah. Sick. Sickening.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody is turned into a Joseph Goebbels student. You know, what I can't understand, where are the Jews in this country? Why aren't they waking up? Do they want to go through this crap again? Are we going to see people herded into railroad cars and trucked off to prison camps and labor camps and worked to death or shot in the back of the head or what? What's going on here?
Well, I'm afraid so. It's part of, in other words, to look at Clinton, how disappointed he was that he didn't get his wiretapping. And one of the Republicans said something that we don't want to destroy the people's liberties. In other words, that he was like really gunning for that wiretapping thing, and he got so disappointed for it. I mean, he was foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Houston, Texas, 77058. Send them a rock. And put a little letter in there. Tell them, please send you all the information that they can about their Mars rock and about their missions to Mars and anything else that they've got laying around there that we paid for. It's ours. Give it to us. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm calling from California. My name is John. I love your show.
They let you call from California?
Yeah, they actually let me call. I'm probably being wiretapped, whatever, but it doesn't really matter.
You probably got four people looking over your shoulder and listening.
Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
The only rock I want to send NASA is the one that fell out of Clinton's head was through the inauguration. I was the one that happened to pick it up.
Well, good for you.
Searched. I had my own people researching, and it's just a bunch of manure in there. I hate to say it, but, you know, I want them to do their own research, but that's what I found in my own research.
Well, that comes from a life form, doesn't it?
I love your show. I listen to it every night. I tell everybody about it. You're doing such a tremendous job. What I was going to say about, what's his name, Bo Greitz, if he claims to do all this and he's so patriotic and all this other stuff, why doesn't he make a stand against this communist government we got?
Well, you have to ask him. Just recently, someone called in to his show and said that he was thinking about joining the militia, and he wanted Greitz to give him a recommendation. And Greitz told him to call the FBI, and the FBI would tell him which militias were good, and to go to the government program where you can buy weapons that the military is no longer using, and get his M1 from them.
Can you imagine? There it is. There. That's the kind of person he is. I wish he'd stand up before what he really is and you know, get out there and do something about it if he's that good about it. You know, he said he was the next Green Beret and Special Forces and Marines and the whole works. I don't know about that guy.
Hey,
he's truthful about himself. He ought to get out there and do it.
Hey, Holmes, we don't call him Bobo for nothing.
Hey, you got a good show.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's it, folks. I think we're out of time. Maybe we can take one quick call if you can really make your point fast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Ed from Harrow, Canada.
Hi, Ed.
Hi. It's really ironic that about 15 minutes into your program last night on your topic about the Rock, we started getting a lot of interference. We're about 20 miles south of Detroit, Michigan, and a lot of distortion. And then about few minutes after your program ended, everything was crystal clear again.
Isn't that amazing?
Richard Hoagland's been on Art Bell's program a lot. I'm kind of a night owl when I...
Oh, Art Bell, I bet he's just going off the deep end. I bet he's riding over the falls in the barrel, man, over this moon rock, life on Mars stuff, huh?
About 2 months ago, Hoagland was on a show, and I guess on Art Bell's website, you could see ancient structures on the moon. Pictures that he depicted.
Yeah, everything that Hoagland says is based upon NASA's fake photographs. Gotta go. We're out of time.
Okay.
Isn't it funny, folks? Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails.